You need to learn to pray over the people in your life. I don't want to see them lost. Now, I don't get to determine whether you get saved, but I can sure pray in such a way that it's going to be awfully hard for you to get around them prayers and try to be a heathen. You see what I'm saying? That's your job as an intercessor. Make it hard for folk.
Arguments may alienate. Reason may fall on deaf ears. But when you pray for your unsaved friends and family members, you're accomplishing far more than you may think. Hello, and thanks for stopping by for today's Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd, Senior Pastor at Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. For the past couple of days, Pastor Paul has been talking about the Lord's Prayer given to us by Jesus as a model for us to follow. We begin by lifting up the name of God. Then we lift up the needs of others. And that's where we pick it up today. Stay with us here or visit PastorPaul.net to hear any recent Destined for Victory message on demand. That's PastorPaul.net. Now, here is Pastor Paul with today's Destined for Victory message, praying effectively for others.
You got to learn to put prayer hits out on people. You got to learn how to put a hit out, a contract on them. That's how I'm saying, because my daddy was the victim of a contract. His mother, you've heard me tell the story, but I want to hear it again. His mother got saved, walking with the Lord, having all these kids by her husband who would only come home long enough to make a baby, and then he would take off again, be in the streets for months at a time. My daddy said his father was the original Rolling Stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. We never knew when he was coming home. And you know, the kind of person who when they show up, they act like they've been there the whole time. Y'all ever seen folk like that? Just, where you come from? And see, he said, he come in, you know, fussing at the kids. And my dad says, till I got saved, I hated my father. Cause when I saw him, he was only showing up to fuss, to eat whatever my mother had cooked. And when he didn't help make the money that bought the food, coming there acting like he the head of the home. Come on, some of y'all. You know you need prayer with stuff like that happening. Cause some of you sisters right now, y'all don't have the grace that my grandmama and them had. Some of y'all, somebody pop up in the house after months of being gone, want to sit at the head of the table, want the big piece of chicken. Oh, so, you know about what some of y'all would do. Now, don't even sit here and act spiritual. But for the grace of God, you know what you would say to that man when he walked up in the house. But my grandmother, she was learning how to walk with the Lord. And back in those days, you know, women were taught to be much more, you know, demure and all that. And not anymore. You bust up in the house if you wanna. You might catch something upside your head. And some of y'all, sure enough, he might catch a hot one, a bullet. Okay. So my grandmother had to put up with all that. That man ended up giving her 10 kids. 10 children. My dad was one of 10. One died relatively young of a birth problem, but he had 8 living siblings besides himself all into his adulthood. And he said, when I was a teenager, and he was a comedian, when y'all wonder where I get my sense of humor, if you knew my dad, you would never ask. He was a comedian to his heart. And so in his teens, he had a drama teacher in school that said, you are going to go to Hollywood. You have such a keen sense of humor. You're going to go to Hollywood. This teacher said, I'll see to that. And my dad caught the vision that this teacher planted of him going to Hollywood to be a comedian. In his day, there was a comedian on TV named Jack Benny. And Jack Benny had a black sidekick named Rochester. And see, the old folk know what I'm talking about. And Rochester was the one black person that he and other black kids would see and say, oh, wow, you can do comedy and make good money and be famous. And that plus what this lady said to him. He went home. He didn't know what he was running up against. He went home and told my grandmother, "Mama, I'm going to go to Hollywood. I'm going to become a comedian. And I'm going to come back. I'm going to put you in a big house. Mama, you're not going to have to suffer like this because I'm going to make a lot of money and I'm going to come back and take care of you." But all she heard was this boy think he's going to Hollywood. See, back in those days, they didn't believe you could go to Hollywood and be saved. So coming home telling her you're going to Hollywood was tantamount to saying, "Mama, before I go to hell, I'm going to go to Hollywood and make..." You understand? In her brain, that's what that means. "Mama, get ready to go to hell, but before I go, I'm going to put you in a big house. So at least you're comfortable in a big house while I'm in hell." That's what she heard. My grandmother looked at him and said, "Boy, let me tell you something. When I was pregnant with you, when you were in my womb, one day I laid my hands on my belly and I said, 'Lord, I want you to make a preacher out of this one.'" Only one of her children she prayed that inspired prayer about. "Lord, I want you to make a preacher out of this one." Sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you something to say and you don't even know where it came from. The Holy Spirit told her to pray that prayer. And she said to him, "Boy, do you think I'm going to let you go to Hollywood and go to hell from Hollywood? When I prayed that over you," she said, "I went to death's door to bring you in this world." You know, the old folk talk real dramatic. "I went down to death's door to bring you into this world. And if you think I did all of that for you to go to hell," she said, "you got another thought coming." She said, "Before I let that happen, I will pray that God will save you one day and kill you the next." That's exactly what she said to her son. That's what you call a prayer hit. That's a prayer contract. "Boy, you gonna mess around and die, you fool around with me. Cause you will get saved." That's the first thing. You will get saved because I'm not going to turn loose the horns of prayer till you get saved. And then not only are you going to live, you're going to preach the gospel. She told him that, and he's a young teenager trying to dream of being rich and famous. And she said, "No, you're going to get saved and you're going to become a preacher." And my daddy pastored for 45 years. In answer to his mother's prayer. He preached longer than that, but he was a pastor for 45 years. That's what prayer can do. See, you need to learn to pray over the people in your life. "I don't want to see them lost." Now, I don't get to determine whether you get saved, but I can sure pray in such a way that it's going to be awfully hard for you to get around them prayers and try to be a heathen. You see what I'm saying? That's your job as an intercessor. Make it hard for folk. No, you can't guarantee that they get saved. That's not up to you. But you can put such prayer power against them until they got to figure out. Because see, I come from a world where not only was that true of praying over your unsaved loved ones till they got saved. I grew up when parents, Christian parents, would not raise children who were comfortable not being saved. The kids who were still in their house, their attitude was, "I can't make you get saved, but I'm going to make it hard for you to be a sinner in here. You know, it's up to you whether you come to know Jesus. That's between you and the Lord. But I can make it awfully difficult for you to be a decent sinner in my house." See, I just mentioned that because I know y'all never heard, even thought anything like that. Because nowadays we got children selling dope out your house and fornicating, bring their little raggedy friends all up on the bed you bought. And then it messes with me. I watch the way some of y'all parent and just, "Well, you know, you have to let the children be." Now, I don't come from let the children whirl. I'm sorry. So y'all got to just put up with me. I don't come from let the children whirl. I come from the children do what I tell them to do whirl. So y'all excuse me. I know times are different now. The times are different now, but you can't, you know, you can't build a bomb in my house. It just, you can't. I just come from a different world. You got these young folk that I'm paying the mortgage. I'm the, and you in the garage building a bomb? I don't come from that world. I come from a world where somebody walked by a box and said, what's in there? And I don't come from a world where you can say, don't worry about it. Y'all, am I helping anybody? I just come from helping you understand me so you know how to pray for the pastor. That he has difficulty dealing with the way things are done today. I never heard anything I birthed ask me or tell me don't worry about it. That don't work for the kid. I worries about everything up in here. Everything you see. I have access to it all. If I ask a question, I want to answer. An answer that makes sense. An answer I can understand. And you better sound right while you give me. I'm sorry. But now y'all know how to pray for me. I can't. The modern stuff doesn't work for me. We were taught there's a certain sound in your voice when you're talking to your parent. Because I see these young folk teddy bears. Don't worry about it. This guy, mind your business. Huh? What? My?
Still ahead, the second half of Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Praying Effectively for Other People. But first, we want to take a moment to thank all of you that support Destined for Victory with your prayers and financial gifts. As we move ahead in a brand new year, still walking through some challenging times, your support is even more critical today because in seasons of crisis, people are looking for a reason to have hope. Please prayerfully consider making a generous gift to Destined for Victory today. Give online safely and securely from our website, PastorPaul.net, or give us a call at 855-339-5500. Again, the number is 855-339-5500. When you pray for your friends and loved ones, call them out by name. Be specific about their needs. For more practical advice on how to pray for the people in your life, let's go now to the rest of today's message, Praying Effectively for Other People. Once again, here's Pastor Paul.
I tell you, back then, they didn't care how big you got, how tall you were, what you weighed. They didn't care about any of that. I told you about the lady in the church growing up. Her sons got big, started sassing her. She said, boy, let me tell you something. Talk to me like that again. I know you're tall. She said, I will climb a ladder and knock you upside your head. I know. It's abuse. I know. Y'all taught me. That's abuse. But in my day, he got knocked upside his head. That's what it was in my day. He said the wrong thing. One of my friends said, I found myself picking myself up. All right, back to reality. All right, so we got to learn to pray that God will move in the lives of people who, unless God does it, you can't imagine it happening. But our God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even imagine. God knows how to save a straight up heathen. God knows how to save somebody who you wouldn't give a dime for them ever turning their life around. He can take them off the road of destruction and put them on the road of eternal life. So your job is to facilitate that through your prayers. So call the name of your loved ones when you pray. Call their name to the Lord. Pray for them by name and by specific need. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth in their life, just like your will's being done in heaven, Lord. Let your will be done in Junior's life, in Mama's life. This is what I'm asking you to do. And make that a regular practice in your life. So you want to pray that God's kingdom come, God's will be done. And you're praying on behalf of others. First is you're praying on behalf of people who don't yet know the Lord. You're praying that God would save them. Call them specifically by name. See, I know our hearts want to say, Lord, save everybody. That's not a practical prayer. So target people. Look at military operations. You can learn how to fight warfare by looking at military operations. Military operations don't drop indiscriminate bombs. Just let it go and just see who it hits. No general does that. They say ISIS is in that cave. And so they target them. They're doing surveillance. We don't know. We're just living our lives here in America, just doing our things. But we don't know that our commanders are doing all kind of covert operations throughout the world, finding the enemies of freedom, the enemies of faith. And they're strategically working. And next thing we hear on the news, oh man, they killed such and such a terrorist leader. Well, they've been targeting them for months. You didn't know it because they couldn't tell you, because if they told you, they'd tell them. You see what I'm saying? Spiritually, the same thing. I'm targeting some people. I'm targeting some issues because I want to see difference happen in that area. And so you target people in prayer, the people you want them to get saved. Then there are some people, they're saved, but they sure still need some help. How many of us know some saved folk who need some serious help? Exactly. So they got to be on your prayer list too. Don't just target unsaved folk till they get saved. Okay, that's over with. No. Some people you don't have to start praying hard about until they get saved, look like. Because by then, they could fall into false complacency. Well, I know the Lord. But now the enemy, see, if the enemy can't take you away from the kingdom of God, he's going to at least make sure that your life on earth is perfectly bound up, perfectly miserable, perfectly messed up. And how many know getting saved doesn't straighten out all your problems? Getting saved sometimes puts you in a position where you come to see just how jacked up you really are. Because now you have a spiritual enemy. The devil doesn't like that you know Jesus. The devil doesn't like that you're trying to see the kingdom come and the will of God done. And so he's going to target you. The day you got saved, you hit the radar of demonic forces. And they began to plan and plot and scout your life and watch your movements. See, the devil is not omniscient. Let me give you some understanding. The devil is not omniscient, meaning enemy forces don't know everything. God is omniscient. He knows all. Satan is a fallen being. The demons in his army are fallen beings. They don't know all. They know what they learn. They learn because they watch you. Familiar spirits, when you hear familiar spirits, when you read that in the Bible, what's a familiar spirit? A familial spirit. A spirit assigned to your family generations ago. And they've been watching y'all the whole time. When you have your baby, they're there watching from the spiritual realm, watching you, watching that baby develop, watching the patterns in your home. You say, oh, that sounds scary. Good. That'll make you pray. Because demonic forces are real. Don't you act like everything that's true is what you see with your natural eye. There is more in the unseen world than you see in this world. And they're targeting you. And they watch your temperament and they watch your movements and they watch your tendencies. And then they're feeding information constantly to other demons. And the bottom line is, they're all arrayed against you and your family. That's why I'm so glad to be saved, because now that I know Jesus, I get to read scriptures that apply to me, such as, greater is he who is in me than he who's in the world. Yeah, there's all kinds of demonic forces in the world, but what's in me is greater than all of them. Come on, somebody. I'm glad to know that the devil is going to have a hard time getting me off course because I have the greater one living in me. Doesn't mean I can't get off course. I have been off course. I know what it's like. But if I walk circumspectly, the King James says, that means if you're careful, if you're mindful of your walk, if you do what God tells you to do, if you're diligent, the enemy can't throw you off course. But he's seeking to do whatever he can. Don't wonder about it ever again. How is it that some families just have the same, look like the same bondage is through the whole family? There's a reason. It's a spiritual reason. The enemy has infected that family and he's trying to keep that pattern going. We call them generational curses. That's not just spiritual language. There is a truth behind that. The devil likes to insert some things that are generational. And if you're not careful, you will get caught up in it. There are families that are generationally plagued with alcoholism. Yes, I know there is a biological element. I'm not disputing that at all, but that doesn't account for it alone. The devil is the agitator of practices that are against your well-being. He's the agitator. He loves to influence you in the wrong way. There are families that have all kind of besetting sins. Boy, all of those marriages break up in divorce. Even the ones that started out good, everybody in that family is divorced. There's something generational going on in the spirit realm. So what you do when you get saved, you got to learn to pray, not only targeting folk who aren't saved, but targeting people against generational curses. You got to say, in Jesus' name, we will not see that run through the rest of our family. It's run so far, but like the water rushing to the shoreline, I'm going to stand here and declare it's not going to continue. In Jesus' name, this stops here.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's Destined for Victory message by Pastor Paul Shepherd. You know, God has a unique purpose for all who have put their faith in Christ, but he also has a plan for those who haven't. Consider 2 Peter 3, verse 9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is our primary calling as Christians, to go out into the world and share our faith with others. And there's no better time than now to help Pastor Paul do just that. As we continue to walk together through a challenging season in our history, now is a great time to partner with Destined for Victory in an effort to lead as many people to Christ as we can. As our way of saying thanks for your partnership, we'll send you a few thank you gifts, including one of Pastor Paul's most popular CDs, The Best of Let My People Smile. So call 855-339-5500 to find out more about how to become a Destined for Victory partner for as little as $20 a month. Make your pledge over the phone or mail your gift, letting us know you wish to become our partner. The address is Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. You can also become our partner from our website, pastorpaul.net. Now, if you can't become a Destined for Victory partner, but would like to make a donation today, we'd love to send you Pastor Paul Shepherd's booklet, It Pays to Serve Jesus. It's a great resource that goes hand in hand with a message you heard today, and one that will remind you that following Christ is always more than worth the sacrifice. That's Pastor Paul's booklet, It Pays to Serve Jesus, our gift to you by request for your generous donation to Destined for Victory.
Jesus gave us the right to pray. He gave us the assurance that we can pray with power and effectiveness, meaning prayer is not a wasted exercise. When you learn how to pray and pray right, God answers prayer. There are things that will happen if you pray that won't happen if you don't pray. It is going to accomplish great things, but we must understand how to function in prayer.
That's tomorrow when Pastor Paul shares his message, praying about personal needs and desires. Until then, remember, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.